I sincerely welcome everyone to today's festival at Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. Thank you very, very much for being here today. Especially like to welcome my dear godbrother and his wonderful wife. It is the first time in their lives they've come to our temple. Veda Parvataka Prabhu and his good wife Jamuna Jivan Mataji. They have been faithfully serving Srila Prabhupada and lovingly serving the Vaishnavas in various very dedicated and responsible ways for about 30 years, and very dear friends. They're presently living in the New Dwarka community in Los Angeles, California. And whenever we go there, very humble, behind the scenes, they're making wonderful, sweet arrangements for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas. Let us very enthusiastically welcome them to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. Much louder, please. And if I believe Yadubar Prabhu is somewhere here. If you can hear me speaking, please come forward, Yadubar Prabhu, to sit with us. May I tell you two stories about His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj? They are small stories which we did not tell during our lecture in his honor. The first one takes place when he was distributing standing order sets of all Srila Prabhupada's books. He was selling books that had not been translated. There were no purports, no publication. In other words, the books only existed in Srila Prabhupada's intention to compassionately serve human society with the words of God. Some existed, but the majority were not yet published. But the BBT Library Party were traveling all over the world, convincing professors and librarians to buy entire sets of the books. And after paying the price, as the books were published over the years, they would be sent to them. So we were explaining how in Eastern Europe, in the 1970s, it was under the communist oppression. Everything was very strongly controlled by the state. And religion that was not regulated, monitored, and approved by the communist government was seen as a great threat, and it was illegal. Persecuted. Now, Bhakti Tirtha Swami was an American. Americans were the arch enemies of communism. Because during the Cold War, capitalism and communism were for decades on the verge of nuclear wars. Capitalism was trying to destroy communism, and communism was just trying to destroy capitalism. For an American to be promoting an ideology that was subversive to the communist state was a great threat. In fact, the communist government said the three greatest dangers, threats to the communist status of control was American dress, American music, and the Hare Krishna movement. Because here they saw books that presented religion in such a scientific, philosophical way that the communist propaganda could not defeat. Most religions are not very scientific, not very philosophical, mostly sentimental. And therefore, the communists could crush people's faith. But here was a systematic philosophy scientifically presented that could convince people's hearts. This is a great danger. If Ghanshyam Prabhu, which was his name then, if Ghanshyam Prabhu would have been caught, he could have been arrested and tried as a spy, as an American spy in communist country, trying to get intelligence and promote divisive propaganda. And those who know something about governments and military, the punishment people give to spies is very severe. Often the penalty is death. Now here he was, practically the only black colored man from an African descent in the entire nation. An American with an American passport, trying to sell entire sets of books that were banned and outlawed by the government. Very dangerous situation. On one occasion, he was in a university, and he was just going down the halls, going to various professors, to librarians, trying to convince them to buy all Prabhupada's books. Now, when you're doing this service in that dangerous situation, you always are conscious of being watched. He took note that a very official-looking person was following him. Everywhere he went, every turn he made, this man was right behind him. He came to the conclusion, this is an agent of the KGB. And if he's caught by him, it could be imprisonment, it could be death. He tried to blend in, but there was no possibility of him blending in because nobody else looked like him. He was obviously not a student. The man was trailing him everywhere he went. Finally, he realized, I'm going to be arrested. So all of a sudden, he just ran. He was a fast runner. He was running. and he heard the footsteps behind him running. He was running. The person was running, and he was running, and the person was running. And down the hallways of a college. It was a chase. He was all alone. He took a turn. The other man took a turn. He took another turn. And right, he understood he had to somehow or other disappear from the scene. So he made one very sharp, fast turn and just immediately ran into the first door and closed it behind him before the other man turned. Srila Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj Ki. And he turned a corner and opened the door and went in the door. And the KGB man just ran past. But when he walked in this door, there was a very dignified official person sitting behind the desk of a small room. This man was very seriously startled. All of a sudden, this African-American man just runs into his room. And he looked at him and said, "Who are you, and what are you doing here?" KGB was somewhere right outside, searching everywhere. He said, he happened to read the name on the door before he went in. He said, "You are Professor so-and-so?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Oh, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I have an appointment to meet you at this time." He said, "I'm not aware of any appointment." He said, "No, I made an appointment. I came all this way to this just to meet you. I didn't want to break my appointment." He said, "I have no recollection of making an appointment." He said, "I made an appointment with your secretary. She didn't tell you?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I'm here, and I'd like to discuss some things with you." And he told the person all about Srila Prabhupada's books and how important they would be for him to have in the university library and in his own personal classes. And by the time discussion ended, that professor bought an entire standing order of all Srila Prabhupada's books. This is a story about how when a great devotee has such a deep prayer and commitment to serve his spiritual master and Krishna, how Krishna makes extraordinary and sometimes miraculous arrangements to fulfill that desire for devotional service. Krishna is the supreme creator of all the cosmic manifestation. What is it that he cannot do? And when a devotee with a pure heart wants to be the puppet of his Guru Maharaj, the instrument of the compassion of Krishna, Krishna can make wonderful arrangements to just mystically put us in the right place at the right time with the right person to fulfill our desire. One time, Srila Prabhupada, he was in an airplane, and the airplane just stopped in Fiji. And he was just supposed to get out and then get back onto plane. He was not going out of the country. Was it Fiji? Yes. And he met one man. And for about a half hour, Prabhupada preached to that man. The man became a devotee. later took initiation and established a temple, and later on an entire yatra of hundreds and hundreds of devotees with wonderful temples, farm communities. And what was the seed? Just the right person at the right time in the right place for Srila Prabhupada to preach to. That is how Krishna reciprocates with the pure desire of his devotee. This next story is a story about the glories of Maha Maha Prasad. Shall I tell? During these 7.5 weeks when I was staying with Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, I had the good fortune, which I did not deserve, to witness wonderful events. I would like to share one more with you today. One of our dear friends and God brothers remained for a long time during those 7.5 weeks at Gita Nagari. Many of you know him. His name is Mahamuni Prabhu. One day, a group of Prabhupada's disciples was meeting with His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. Maharaj was speaking so eloquently, right to the heart of each devotee. Mahamuni was so deeply moved by Bhakti Tirtha Swami's compassion and his profound words of wisdom that he was incessantly weeping tears. After the dialogue with all of the devotees completed, Maharaj very affectionately turned to Mahamuni Prabhu. He said, "When I was a new devotee, Mahamuni Prabhu," he said, "I served under you for some time, and you were such a strict authority on everyone who was working under you." He said, "I remember how difficult it was due to your strictness." Mahamuni Prabhu was an American soldier. And in the Vietnam War, he commanded a whole division in the front lines of battle. So he did have that military training, and he could be quite strict. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said, "Mahamuni, someday I'm going to get even with you." And then Maharaj very lovingly, very, very affectionately, he made a fist. He said, "Mahamuni Prabhu, I'm going to punch you in the jaw." And Mahamuni Prabhu said, "Please, Maharaj, please punch me." And Maharaj was laughing. He was laughing, very sweet. He said, "Mahamuni Prabhu, I want to punch you in the jaw. Someday I am going to punch you in the jaw." Mahamuni said, "Please do it, do it." And they laughed. Very soon after this, I went to meet Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. And when I came out of his room, I was scheduled to give a lecture at the Radha Damodar Temple of Gita Nagari that evening. So I was just about to leave. And one of Maharaj's disciples, her name Agnihotra Mataji, from Cleveland, Ohio, she said to me that on my Gurudev's request, today I have made special prasad. It is genuine
soul food.
And she started telling me the whole menu. Collard greens. And one preparation, she said, was barbecued curd steaks with hickory sauce. She said, "Would you like some?" I said, "How can I refuse barbecued curd steaks with hickory sauce?" I never had anything like that. It's definitely soul food. So I said, "But I don't want to have it until the Maharaj takes it, and it is his Maha Maha Prasad." So then they brought the plate into Maharaj, and I went to give lecture, and someone came and delivered to me in nice containers all the different preparations. So Mahamuni Prabhu was at the lecture, and we were staying in the same house together, at the house of my very dear godbrother and godsister, Yadunandan Prabhu and Taruni Mataji. So as we're driving back, Mahamuni Prabhu is noticing a very exotic fragrance. I said, "Do you know what that is?" He said, "What?" I said, "It's soul food." I said, "It's Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaja's Maha Maha Prasad. And today we will eat it." Now we got back about 11 o'clock at night. I served it out. And we ate little. We both had just a little. Especially we liked the barbecued curd steaks and hickory sauce. Now we took rest. We were sharing the same room. The next morning I got up because I was supposed to give class, Srimad Bhagavatam class. And when I woke up, I saw Mahamuni Prabhu. His eyes were bloodshot. He was holding his jaw and he was groaning in pain. I said, "Maharaj, what happened?" He said, "I didn't sleep all night." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because of intense, unbearable pain." I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Maharaj did it to me." I said, what do you mean? He said, "He hit me in the jaw through his Maha Maha Prasad." The hickory sauce somehow or other dripped in under his bridges and his teeth, and made his whole jaw and mouth swollen in excruciating pain. And he said, "Maharaj did it. He promised me he would punch me in the jaw. And through his prasad, he punched me right in the jaw." He was in pain for several weeks. Now the next day, that morning, I told the story to all the devotees at Gita Nagari during Srimad Bhagavatam class, and they were really pleased to hear it. Mahamuni Prabhu didn't go to class because he was in too much pain, but the next time he went out, everyone was asking, "Mahamuni Prabhu, how is your jaw?" And he said, "How did you know?" He said, "There was a whole Srimad Bhagavatam class about this." So the next day, I told the whole story to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and he was laughing so much, he said, "Yes." And Mahamuni Prabhu came in the next day, and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj had his fist out. He said, "How did it feel, Mahamuni Prabhu? How did it feel?" So we read about the power of prasad. But more important than prasad, more powerful than prasad, is Mahaprasad. The prasad that is directly from the plates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on the altar. But even more powerful than Mahaprasad is Mahaprasad, which is that Mahaprasad that is from the plates of a devotee. Mahaprasad has been glorified by greatest of acharyas. Haridas Thakur, that was his prayer. During Mahaprakash Lila, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Haridas, take any benediction and I will give it. What would you like? Thakur Haridas replied that I do not want anything. I am satisfied simply being the servant of the servant of your servants. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I insist, ask for something. Haridas Thakur said, there is one desire in my heart that you could fulfill. In every birth that I may take, give me the benediction that I will always receive the foodstuffs that has been left behind on the plates of your devotees. Mahaprasad. Let that benediction be mine. Even if I be a dog or an insect near the house of a devotee, I will be grateful to receive the remnants of your devotee's food. Haridas became very embarrassed. He said, actually, I have no right. I am so fallen. Who am I to ask for such an exalted benediction? I am so fallen that I'm always longing to be seen as an important person. That is my shameless condition. Please, just grant me this benediction, that I may always worship within my heart the Mahaprasad, the food remnants that has fallen from the mouth of your devotees. And in this way, allow me to always be the servant of the servant of your servants. Prasad means mercy. On this wonderful, humorous occasion, we were laughing and joking for many days, especially Mahamuni. And every time he laughed, it increased the pain of his jaw, but still he couldn't stop laughing. Prasad means mercy. And he felt himself that he received an extraordinary act of mercy from His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj Ki. And today we have been honored with the Mahaprasad of the Association of His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj. Let us very enthusiastically welcome him back home to Sri Radha Gopinath's Mandir. Maharaj, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, but I'm not Mahaprasad till you chew me a little.
We will all chew your words through our ears. We would now request Jayadvaita Maharaj to kindly enlighten our hearts with his words of transcendental wisdom.
What should I talk about?
You could speak Prajalpa.
Just the benediction I always wanted. But But there must be something higher.
Maharaja's Prajalpa, even the sages of Naimisharanya would be attentive to hear.
Shouldn't say that about the sages of Naimisharanya.
I'm sure they're very happy that I spoke like that. How many of you feel that the sages of Naimisharanya would feel very happy to hear these words?
They're affectionate to babies or something? The sages of Naimisharanya are affectionate to babies? They like to hear, you know, baby talk? Point me in a direction. What should I talk about?
Krishna. You can speak about pure devotional service and receiving the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or whatever comes through your
mind.
Divine heart.
In my divine heart. What if my divine heart is empty?
It is empty of all prajalpa.
It's empty of everything else, too.
It is overflowing eternally with Krishna Katha.
How come it feels like it's underflowing?
It's flowing in all directions.
Really?
Because we're under you, therefore it has to underflow to reach our ears.
Too much. Okay, let's see what happens. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitana Manapistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tadati Shapadantika. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mam Tu Veda Nakashchana. Nobody knows me. That presents a problem for talking about him. Mam tu veda nakashchana. There's some prayer by Rupa Goswami. He says, I have no pious activities. I have no attraction for hearing and chanting. I don't even have attraction for the causes of devotional service. And I'm not even born in a good family. So I just have to pray to Krishna that he'll give his mercy so that I can be engaged in devotional service. There's a prayer like that, huh? I think Rupa Goswami is praying. Meaning is that we shouldn't think that we're very qualified to serve Krishna, to know Krishna, to be in the association of Krishna. Because devotional service is not by our qualification. It's not that by my pious activities I can actually engage and have the privilege of engaging in devotional service, or by cultivation of knowledge I can have the opportunity to engage in devotional service. It, of course, To perform pious activities is very good. To cultivate knowledge is very good. But finally, it depends on getting the mercy of a devotee. Because devotional service is available only by the mercy of a devotee. The mercy of the devotee, the mercy of Krishna. Not by any material cause. One time Srila Prabhupada was asked to explain causeless devotional service, and he said, just like I have some money, and he pushed like that, you take this money. And like that, that's how one gets devotional service. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. By mercy, not by our own strength, not by our own qualification, not by any amount of material assets, but only by the mercy of Krishna. And Krishna, although we say, Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu, but sometimes Prabhupada said that Krishna is less merciful. Srimati Radharani is more merciful than Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is most merciful. Mahabharanyavatar. He's Krishna. But Krishna is sometimes a little strict. Sarvadharman Paratyajya. Surrender to me. And if you don't surrender to me, then namam dushkita namudha prapadyante naradana. Maya pratagana asura bhavam. Then you're a rascal, you're a demon, you're a fool, you're a miscreant. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes no conditions. Dinahino yatachilo harinami uddharilo. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, without considering who's qualified, who's not qualified, who's deserving, who's undeserving, he just distributes Krishna consciousness. Just take it. He distributes. Krishna prema pradayate. This pradayate, intensifies. Just take it. He's giving strongly. Just take it. Krishna prema pradayate. Hariname uttarilo. Through the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. He's distributing personally, and he distributes through his devotees also. Sangopangastra Parshada. As Krishna, he sometimes has his Sudarshan disc for killing the demons. As Vishnu, he has the club also, or as Balaram, he's carrying a plow for smashing the demons. He always has different weapons. Parshuram, he comes with an axe. But in the avatar as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sangha Upanga Astra Parshadam. Sangopangastra Parshadam. His weapons appear in the form of his devotees. And the business is not killing. In other avatars, Krishna comes and kills the demons. Vinashaya Chuduskritam. But in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's no killing, because if he killed all the demons, practically there'd be no one left. In Kali Yuga, everyone is infected by the demonic qualities. Almost everyone is contaminated by
passion and ignorance. So as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he simply gives the holy name of Krishna. This is his method to distribute the holy name. And the holy name, as his weapon, annihilates the demonic propensities or gets rid of all the unclean things in the heart of the devotee. So, dina hina yata chila, harinam eva turila. Tarsakshi jaghai madhai. Jaghai and madhai were the prototypes. And Srila Prabhupada said now in present time, there are so many thousands of jaghais and madhais. Back then there were only two, fallen brothers. Now there are so many. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement distributes the message of Krishna, distributes the mercy of Krishna, distributes the devotional service of Krishna. That same devotional service that's so difficult to achieve is being distributed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by his intimate servants. In the present age, his weapons are weapons like the chanting of the holy name, the distribution of books that glorify the name and form and qualities, pastimes of Krishna, the beautiful form of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya's own form is so beautiful. He's called Gorsundar, very golden complexion, and very attractive. That even the Mayavadis, Prakashananda Saraswati, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came into the assembly, was attracted. Such a beautiful person. Although a Mayavadi, he was thinking, this young man is very nice. He has some effulgence. Mayavadis especially are attracted to effulgence. They hope to merge into the ultimate effulgence. He saw this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's very effulgent. And by his speech, he's very gentle. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't deal with Prakashananda Saraswati aggressively. He didn't try to out-argue him. You're a scholar, but I'm a better scholar. Generally, the scholars are like that. My learned colleague has stated his theory, but it seems to me that there's some defect in the theory of my learned colleague. With all due respect, and in this way, the scholars are busy fighting with one another while maintaining good manners superficially. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually took a very humble position. He was sitting next to the place where the shoes were kept. He was sitting there. Oh, why are you sitting next? No, I'm a lower class sannyasi. Better for me to sit here. No, come sit with us, come sit with us, come sit with us. Sir, why are you chanting and dancing? You appear to be a very nice sannyasi. Sannyasis are not supposed to be doing these sentimental things, swept away by public sentiment. They're supposed to study Vedanta Sutra and cultivate renunciation, austerity. No, my Guru Maharaj told me to chant. He said, you're too much of a fool. You'll not understand Vedanta Sutra. Don't waste your time studying Vedanta Sutra. Chant this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So, I do it. Somehow or other, my Guru Maharaj gave me this order to chant Hare Krishna. So I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and by chanting Hare Krishna, actually some transformation took place, and I thought I was going crazy. What kind of mantra have you given me? What does it do to people? I become like a madman when I chant this mantra. Then the spiritual master told me, no, this is very nice. These are signs of love for Krishna. Golokera Premadhan Harinama Sankirtan. The chanting is coming from Goloka Vrindavan, from the abode of Krishna, because there's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name. So this Harinama Mahamantra is coming from Goloka Vrindavan. It's giving love for Krishna. Golokera Premadhan Harinam Sankirtan. So the spiritual master is very pleased. It's very nice that you've attained love for Krishna. Please go on chanting and dancing in this way. So I'm chanting and dancing. Now, that's all right, you're chanting and dancing, but what's wrong with reading Vedanta Sutra? Huh? Why don't you read Vedanta Sutra? No, I'm too much of a fool. So Prakashananda Saraswati could understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually had some philosophy. So he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to explain, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the whole Vedanta philosophy without touching the Mayavadi explanation. The Mayavadis explain Vedanta Sutra in such a way as to try to obliterate the individual identity of the Supreme Lord and the individual identity of the living entity. And in that way, they obliterate the real opportunity of human life, the opportunity to be engaged in the devotional service of Krishna. So they think that they're doing themselves a favor. They think that they're cultivating the highest goal of life, but really they're making themselves, trying to make themselves ineligible for that highest goal. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the personalist philosophy. Everyone is an eternal servant of Krishna. Everyone is part and parcel of Krishna, one with Krishna, but only in quality, and at the same time different from Krishna in quantity. And Krishna is very great, and we're very small. And therefore it's our constitutional position to be engaged in the service of the Lord. So there was some discussion. But finally, by the influence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prakashananda Saraswati and his followers accepted that actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching the real goal of life, prema pumartha mahan. This is the real business of life. The same thing happened with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was a staunch Mayavadi philosopher. These were the hard cases. The Jagai and Madhai, they were attached to sense gratification. But the big philosophers like Prakashananda Saraswati and Prabodhananda, Prakashananda Saraswati? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. They were big philosophers. They were not degraded sense gratifiers. They were on a very high level. And on that very high level, it's very difficult to change. Because although on a high level, they're very fixed. They're described in Srimad Bhagavatam. We were talking about this yesterday. That a person whose heart doesn't change by hearing and chanting is a person whose heart is steel-framed. And they cultivate. The Mayavadis cultivate that steel-framed heart. They want to frame their heart with steel. But still, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu broke through that steel barrier and melted the hearts of even the great Mayavadi philosophers like Prakashananda Saraswati, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, so much so that they were dancing and chanting. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was playing in the lake with the devotees, splashing like a little kid. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Tell them to stop. He's supposed to be a serious philosopher." But he became the most nectarian and nectar appreciating devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. By the influence of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, simply by the glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the material sense gratification becomes like a imagination. The happiness of the higher planets becomes like imagination. And the senses, which are like serpents, become like serpents with broken fangs. And the so-called liberation or the prospect of merging into the Supreme, becoming one with the Supreme, which is so sought after by the Mayavadi philosophers, becomes, just the thought of it becomes hellish. This is all possible for a person who's got just a little mercy by the sidelong glance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So somehow, if we're fortunate enough to get a little glance from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or a glance from his devotee, our whole life can change. And that, of course, our process is not just to kind of, hey, glance at me, glance at me, glance at me. But by hearing attentively, by serving sincerely, when we hear, when we chant, when we serve, the Lord becomes more inclined. Well, this person's hearing about me. Hridyantaksto hyabhadrani su vidhunoti surhitsatam. Krishna becomes pleased. This person's hearing about me. Well, this person's serving my servant. Krishna becomes pleased. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes pleased. And then our Krishna consciousness becomes possible. And then all of the difficulties, all the great obstructions, all the barriers, all the obstacles presented by the material energy, one can overcome. There's no obstacle that one can't overcome by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. So very seriously, very persistently, we should try to engage in the service of the Lord and pick up that mercy of the Lord and advance in devotional service to the Lord. Hare Krishna.
Krishna. Shankaraya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta, Swaminiti Namine, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Vicharini, Nevasesha Sunyavadi, Pastachari Shitani. So, you want prajalpa? I'm expert in prajalpa. Maharaj is so kind. Actually, any advancement any of us make in devotional service is only by the mercy of the devotee. We can't do nothing on our own. We don't even know how our own body works. The path of devotional service given to us by Srila Prabhupada is so wonderful. It's so simple. Chanting, dancing, feasting. We make it difficult. Used to this. But Maharaj is merciful, so I don't mind making a fool of myself because it's purifying. I know I just want to just say a little bit about myself because there's many devotees in the U.S. that have never been to India. And I was one of them. I never really saw the importance of coming to the Holy Land. We were always instructed, if we just do our service nicely wherever we are, that's Vaikuntha. So serving in New Vrindavan is not different than Vrindavan. But because we come from backgrounds like Jagai and Madai, we don't have this realization. We serve and we try the best that we can. But when my wife and I, when we touched ground in India, all of a sudden everything opened up. It's the motherland. And Krishna, he came here to India. Rajabhumi. He led his spiritual world. He entered India. That's our next stop. So I told Maharaj, we're coming to India and we're going to Vrindavan. Maharaj said, oh, you must come to Chaupati first. And I'll give you instructions on how to enter Vrindavan. So I was thinking, how is Maharaj going to do this? And then it came to me. Maharaj, by telling me that, I remembered the pastime of Akura, of how he entered Vrindavan. So now we're here, and all these wonderful devotees, you're so inspiring. You're all like little Radhanas. I just wish that you could expand and come to America. In fact, I think Maharaj is doing a program now where he's training devotees, and he's sending them to America. We really need your presence there, your inspiration, your dedication. So, for this Jagai, please bless me. I don't want to take up your time with my nonsense. I just want to hear and associate and get your blessings. Maharaja's blessings. And I'm sorry, Maharaj. That's all I can say.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Maharaj. Before kirtan, I would like to say one more thing about my experience with His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. The wonderful inspiration and dedication of His followers. His personal caretakers, Ekavir Prabhu, Brajalila Prabhu, Dhruva Prabhu, Parijata Mataji, Brahma Muhurta Prabhu, Mangalarti Mataji, Gopal, Mahajan. These devotees were 24 hours a day for months and months at a time. Just giving their hearts, their souls, and their very lives to serving their spiritual master. Very difficult service. To see the person you love more than anyone in the whole creation in such a condition is heartbreaking. And simultaneously to take the responsibility for each and every one of his needs. Because from a physical point of view, Maharaj was helpless. He couldn't walk. He could hardly move. And the nature of his cancer was intensive care was required practically at every moment, day and night. But with grateful and pure hearts, they were always there for them, always there for him. And at the same time, despite so much pressure, internally and externally, they were the most profoundly gracious, enthusiastic hosts and hostesses for every guest that may have came. I would like to thank them, to offer my deepest gratitude. Because just as their Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, set such an illustrious example of dedicating his life in a spirit of compassion to all living beings, in complete dedication to Sri Guru and Gauranga, they were showing by their example to the whole world a very, very high state of following in the footsteps of the great souls and being a servant of the servant of the servant. Thankless service, from a physical point of view. Sometimes they would not sleep for days. But with so much care, with so much dedication. Perhaps someday they will listen to the recording of this lecture. It is my humble request that they could hear the appreciation of all of you by your enthusiastic chanting of Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Now let us perform Nam Sankirtan.